In today's show, I'll be breaking down the latest Bitcoin technical analysis as we resume the pump. Also breaking news, Ripple to launch US dollar stablecoin, aiming to compete with USDT and USDC. Also, gold bugs renew mocking Bitcoin as the yellow metal hits another all-time high. Quoting the high priest, gold is the poor man's Bitcoin. Max also says very few countries without Bitcoin as legal tender will even exist in 10 years. We're also going to be discussing Bitcoin is an insurance policy against rogue regimes, according to ARK Invest. Kathy Wood also be sharing her latest predictions, as well as Coinbase partners with LightSpark for Bitcoin Lightning payments. It's about time, being it's the largest crypto exchange in the States, housing over 100 million users. We'll also be discussing Bitcoin's 2028 halving price target is $435,000 per coin, according to this historical data I'll be breaking down for you. We'll also be taking a look at the overall crypto market, all this, plus so much more in today's show. Yo, what's good, crypto fam? This is first and foremost a video show. So if you want the full premium experience with video, visit my YouTube channel at cryptonewsalerts.net. Again, that's cryptonewsalerts.net. Today is pod episode number 1599. I'm your host, JV, and today is April 4th, 2024. I got 99 problems, but a Bitcoin ain't one. Hit me. Anyways, let's kick it off with our market watch. As you can see right here, we got Bitcoin back in the green, up 2.5% on the day, trading above 67,600. We also have Ether up 1%, trading just under 3,400. All the major cryptos actually in the green and pumping, minus Solana and ICP. And checking out coinmarketcap.com, we're sitting on a 2.54 trillion market cap with roughly 92 billion worth of volume for the past 24 hours. With the Bitcoin dominance, pretty much the same as yesterday, 52.2%. Ether dominance back on the decline at 15.9%. How low do you feel this Ether dominance will go this particular cycle? And how high do you project the Bitcoin dominance will likely climb? Let me know in that live chat. And checking out the top 100 crypto gainers for the past 24 hours. We got Pendle, Mantle, and Chili's leading the pack. Below that, Maker, Bitcoin Cash, and BNB. Now, which altcoins in particular are you guys most bullish on for this bull run? Holla. And checking out the crypto bubbles to get more of a visual perspective, it looks like 95% of the market pumping in the green. We zoom out on the monthly, and wow, it's kind of a mix. I'd say 50-50, half in the green, half in the red. And checking out the Crypto Greed and Fear Index, we're currently rated a 70. Greed, yesterday a 71, last week an 80, and last month a 90. And extreme greed, and just note, the higher this goes, the more likely of a correction. Just like last month, we climbed and hit 90, and we had a, you know, whatever, was it 17% correction? But we're right back in the game, so you already know. And checking out the Bitcoin halving countdown, as of today, it shows we got 17 days left until the most significant event in crypto, which only occurs every 4 years, with the estimated halving date scheduled to take place April 22nd. Just note, it's all dependent upon the block height. We're currently on block 837,691. As soon as we hit block 840,000, that's officially when the halving will be. And checking out the time chain calendar, refreshing here, it shows you the current block we're currently on, 837,691. It shows you the Bitcoin market cap sitting pretty at 1.33 trillion. And currently you can convert $1 for 1,478 Satoshis. Just note, the higher the price goes for a Bitcoin, the less Satoshis you'll receive for a dollar. And one day, some say, like Michael Saylor, Bitcoin could hit 100 million a coin. That would put each Satoshi valued at a dollar. Send it and let's get it. Let's dive into our Bitcoin TA, shall we? Headline reads, Bitcoin taps 67.5 as 2% of the Bitcoin price gains accompany U.S. jobless claims. That's right. As we can see here in the Bitcoin 1 hour chart, Bitcoin rebounded 2% today, April 4th, as broad risk assets rallied forward, encouraging signals from the U.S. Federal Reserve. Now, data from TradingView showed local Bitcoin price highs of 67.5 on Bitstamp around the Wall Street open. Bitcoin joined U.S. stock indices and heading higher on the day, while gold cooled off after setting a new all-time high, tapping 2,300. Peter Schiff must be like ecstatic out of his mind, right? We're going to be discussing that in a little bit. The day prior, Fed Chairman Jay Powell delivered a dovish tone on economic policy, suggesting that interest rate cuts, a key boon for risk assets, would come before the end of the year. Quoting him here, "We have held our policy rate at its current level since last July," he said during a speech for the Stanford Business, Government, and Society Forum at the Stanford Graduate School of Business in Stanford, California. Quoting him again, "As shown in the individual projections the FOMC released 2 weeks ago, my colleagues and I continue to believe that policy rate is likely at its peak for this tightening cycle. If the economy evolves broadly as we expect, most FOMC participants see it as likely to be appropriate to begin lowering the policy rate at some point this year." Now, Powell referred to the FOMC meeting, the next of which is due in May, which is next month. The latest data from the CME Group's FedWatch tool puts the odds of a minimal 0.25% rate cut either at the meeting or the following one in June at 61%. At the best. Meanwhile, the latest initial U.S. jobless claims came in highly above expectations at 221,000 versus the expected 214,000, providing additional upward impetus for the market movement. In analyzing the current Bitcoin market structure, we had popular trader Pierre noting that the 200-period exponential moving average on the four-hour time frame was providing support, as you can see here in the chart. Optimistic as ever, fellow trader Jelly looked at promising signals on the daily chart as grounds to suspect upside continuation to come next. Now, Bitcoin's RSI crossed back above the key Fitty point at the daily close, and as reported, daily RSI had been circling its lowest levels in months. Now, Bitcoin has locked in a hidden bullish divergence on the daily chart. This divergence often shows up during the pullbacks, during a strong bullish trend signaling the next leg higher. Bring on 82,000 per Bitcoin. Send it, family. Let me know if you agree or disagree with that analyst. I'd love to see a $82,000 biddy personally as the next leg up, which is only, what is that, 8,000 above the current all-time high of 74,000. So very, very doable. Let's dive into our next story of the day and discuss this Ripple stablecoin, which is pretty much the big news of the day in the market. Ripple to launch a US dollar stablecoin aiming to compete with USDT and USDC. In fact, Mr. Garlinghouse made the announcement earlier on X. Check it. XRP issuer Ripple announced plans to launch a US-backed stablecoin in hopes to compete with Circle and Tether for a slice of the market share over the next 5 years. And Chief Technology Officer of Ripple, David Schwartz, ahead of the announcement, was interviewed by Cointelegraph, outlining plans for the stablecoin that will initially be issued on the XRP ledger and the Ethereum blockchain. Quoting them here, "It is funny that the question you asked, we don't have an answer to it yet. What's the ticker going to be? And what are we going to call it? You're just going to have to call it the Ripple stablecoin for now." Ripple has been toying with the idea of launching a stablecoin for over a year, and Schwartz believes the existing stablecoin ecosystem is not as diverse and robust as it could be. Pinning the stablecoin's market current value at $150 billion, Schwartz said there is room for another big player. Quoting him here, "We think it'll be over $2 trillion by 2028, and there is only two market leaders. We don't think it is a winner-take-all ecosystem, particularly on the DeFi side." Now, personally, I think the clear winner is USDT, hands down. They have the most Bitcoin on the balance sheet. They have the largest market cap by far, and they are legit, unlike Circle's USDC. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Ripple stablecoin will be pegged at a 1-to-1 ratio with the US dollar, and the company plans to back the tokens with US dollar deposits, short-term US government treasuries, and other cash equivalents. Schwartz said that Ripple would look to emulate Circle's focus on compliance and likely aim to compete against the USD coin issuer. Quoting him here, "Our angle is going to be very compliance first. We are very transparent about how these assets are backed, so we're kind of going to be directly competing against USDC." And he also shared, "We're looking to grab some market share. We're not looking to finesse a couple of extra decimal points by taking risks with other people's money." Schwartz added, "When queried over Ripple's plans to back the stablecoin with dollar deposits, US treasuries, and cash equivalents." And here you can see their reserves composition as of March 28th of this year, their balances and circulation. Shows you USDC. It shows you their cash reserve of the banks, the Circle Reserve Fund, the issuance and redemption, and all this data. And this is USDC, in which they're competing against. Now, the reserve assets are set to be audited by a third-party accounting firm, and Ripple will publish monthly attestations. Swartz drew comparisons to the early days of Tether's stablecoin, USDT, where critics often sounded the alarm over the potential of the issuer to steal funds and the credibility of its reserve attestations. Initially, when Tether first launched, he said, a big concern was whether these guys would run off with all the money because they are very incentivized to do that. Then after a while, you're like, wait a minute, these guys have a long-term business. Now, the Ripple chief technology officer added that the reality of launching a new stablecoin could attract hundreds of millions, even billions or tens of billions of dollars, which would lead to these types of concerns. The company is leaning on its credibility, track record in the space, and strong balance sheet to squeeze its way into the stablecoin market. Quoting Swartz again, I think we have a credible claim to be in the conversation near the top. And if at the end of the 2 years, we're number three, but the market has grown to 10 times what it is today, that's still pretty good, is what he is saying. And also queried why Ripple was interested in a stablecoin offering while XRP continues to be positioned as the token for its real-time growth settlement system, currency exchange and remittance network primarily catering to financial institutions. Here's what Swartz had to say in response. The RippleNet services non-bank payment companies using XRP for transparent payments. However, there are some markets that these firms cannot get into using XRP or supplement liquidity. Having multiple paths to give customers a better experience means you have more customers. If we only did things with XRP, then where XRP wasn't available, we would just have to tell a customer no. The introduction of a Ripple stablecoin is also set to complement the ecosystem's recently launched automated market maker. Now, Swartz says that the stablecoin will provide liquidity and capture volatility and arbitrage opportunities between multiple assets. So there you have it, fam. Now, very interesting. I wasn't anticipating this big announcement from Ripple Labs, but what are your thoughts on them launching their own stablecoin? And yes, I know there's going to be a lot of jokes like XRP has been the best performing stablecoin, keeping its price the same for the past 6 or 7 years, however long it's been. Anyways, fam, next story of the day. Let's discuss the gold all-time high. It tapped $2,300 an ounce. And yes, the gold bugs are now making fun of the Bitcoiners. You can't make the ish up, but nonetheless, they can have their flowers for the day. Spot gold prices have reached an all-time high, resulting in a resurgence of Bitcoin derision from the precious yellow metals investors. Gold hit the all-time high of $2,304 per ounce yesterday, April 3rd. According to the American Hartford Gold Group, posting an 11.5% year-to-date gain for the usually slow-moving asset. And that's a massive gain for you gold bugs. So congrats, guys. Gold started gaining momentum mid-February, rising from around $2,000 per ounce to over $2,200 late March, and having held up well alongside other safe haven assets due to the growing global tensions, uncertainty over possible interest rate cuts, and de-dollarization. Hartford Funds investment strategist Nanette Jacobson told Market Watch on April 3rd, and you can see here gold at $2,304. Now, Bitcoin is sometimes referred to as digital gold, but the real gold's price peak sparked renewed mockery from the gold bugs and Bitcoin belittlers. And of course, the biggest one there is going to be from Peter Schiff. Peter Schiff said in an April 3rd post, in the second quarter of 2024, Bitcoin is down 7%, while silver and gold are up 8 and 3% respectively, claiming the results speak for themselves. However, the second quarter began 3 days ago, exactly at the time of Schiff's post, and Bitcoin gained 55% for this year, eclipsing gold's gains over the same time by a factor of five. Take that, Shifty. Now, in a follow-up post, Schiff claimed to be the last chance to sell your Bitcoin and buy some gold and silver at favorable prices. If you fail to act, have fun staying poor, he claimed. The irony was not lost on some of the respondents. Crypto trader Kassar said they didn't have yet another 60 years to wait for gold to go up another $1,500. And ByteTree analyst and researcher Charlie Morris also took a swipe at Bitcoin in an April 3rd post, commenting that gold has reached an all-time high without electricity consumption, referring to Bitcoin's power-intensive mining process. However, check this out. Environmentalist and Bitcoin ESG researcher Daniel Batten was quick to point out that the energy required for gold extraction is mostly from fossil fuels, which is fact. Quoting him here, gold has a much higher environmental impact and emission intensity than Bitcoin mining, which is fully electrified and does not leave mercury free are arsenic and the local in water supply. Tell them, Charlie Morris. Now, Swan co-founder Brady Swenson added, how can you be a gold bug and not understand the gold mining process? I visited a gold mine once. It was apocalyptic. Meanwhile, the 14 leading gold tracking ETFs have lost $2.5 billion from the start of the year to mid-February, in contrast to the Bitcoin funds, which have seen almost $4 billion in inflows over the same period. What does this tell us? All of that gold ETF money is flowing into the king crypto, BTC. And according to High Priest of Bitcoin, one of my favorite quotes from Max, gold is the poor man's Bitcoin. Let me know if you agree with that sentiment. And isn't that ape so sexy? Just saying. This is like, I'll leave it at that. And Max also says that very few countries without Bitcoin as legal tender will even exist in the next decade. Let me know if you agree with that sentiment, family. So you either adopt Bitcoin or get left behind and disperse and disappear into the ether. Pun intended. Keep the comments flowing. Let's dive into our next story of the day. We discussed the latest with gold. Well, here's the latest from ARK Invest's Kathy Wood. Show some love for Kathy Wood in the comments, broskies. We appreciate it. So yeah, Kathy Wood, founder and CEO of ARK Invest, thinks Bitcoin is an insurance policy against rogue regimes as more users flock to it amid the devaluation of their national currencies. During a new interview on CNBC, Wood tagged Bitcoin as a hedge against devaluation and loss of purchasing power and wealth, insisting that the mass adoption of the digital asset signals a flight to safety in various parts of the world. And she ain't telling no lies. Over the past few months, several fiat currencies depreciated against the US dollar as countries continue to struggle with high inflation rates. Some of those are the Nigerian naira, which lost over 50% of its value, and the Egyptian pound, which has depreciated by roughly 40%. Other countries include the Argentine peso and Japanese yen, the Turkish lira, the Lebanon pound, and the Pakistani rupee. The free fall of all these currencies caused Bitcoin to hit new all-time highs against them long before registering a new peak against USD. Wood believes that these currency devaluations and flows into the Bitcoin ETF market were the reasons Bitcoin surged dramatically in the past few weeks. Users deemed the crypto a hedge against unfavorable monetary policies and chose to store their money in it. Preach, quoting her here, I think this is a flight to safety. That's also quoting Lawrence Fink, CEO of BlackRock. Believe it or not, taking place, a hedge against devaluation, a hedge against a loss of purchasing power and wealth. I think this is an insurance policy against rogue regimes or against just horrible fiscal and monetary policies. Preach. Wood further explained that this is not the first time the Bitcoin has surged during a traditional financial crisis. She cited the U.S. banking crisis of March 2023, when regional banks collapsed and Bitcoin spiked roughly 40% afterward. Now, between March and April of last year, around four American leading institutions, including Silvergate and Signature Bank, shuttered their services after bank runs that caused a surge in deposit outflows. While the shares of the battered financial institutions fell heavily, Bitcoin moved in the opposite direction, recording substantial gains despite the crypto market suffering from the pangs of the bear cycle. Now, ARK Invest CEO says that such an occurrence shows that Bitcoin has no counterparty risk and is both a risk on and risk off asset. That's right. Not only is it an insurance policy, it's also a hedge against inflation, deflation. It's also a risk or a hedge against rogue governments and just corruptible mofos that are looking to do bad things and continue to print money. I'm not mentioning any names, but y'all know who we're referring to here. So as they continue to print, hedge against this with the king crypto, the ultimate store of value to protect your wealth. And not only is it a store of value, it's also the ultimate savings because it's mathematically guaranteed to increase your purchasing power when it's in Bitcoin. Whereas with the dollar, it's the polar opposite. Your purchasing power is mathematically guaranteed to decrease because they have to print when they're in such a big deficit. And currently it's something like $35 trillion. So there's going to be mass printing going on. That's not going to slow down, and it's just going to make Bitcoin that much more valuable. Anyways, fam, keep the comments flowing. Let's dive into our next story of the day. Discuss the latest with Coinbase implementing the Lightning Network. It's about time. I mean, they have over 100 million users, and some of the fees have been ridiculous. Shout out Manny Salam. So it's only going to make it more affordable for all the users on the exchange. So here's the headline. Coinbase partners with LightSpark for the Bitcoin Lightning payments. That's right. Coinbase one step closer to integrating Bitcoin Lightning on its platform amid a new partnership with Lightspark, an enterprise-focused Lightning solution led by former PayPal president David Marcus. In a post yesterday, the Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong said the integration of the Bitcoin Layer 2 network will happen very soon, which will allow its 108 million user base to leverage potentially faster and cheaper Bitcoin transactions. Let's go. Quitting them here. Lightning up all Coinbase touch points with Lightning will offload more transaction activity to Bitcoin second layer, which will combat the recent rise of the fees of the Bitcoin base layer, Lightspark explained. Now, Armstrong confirmed that Coinbase would integrate the Bitcoin Lightning last September, but didn't provide further details on how or when that would occur. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I also recall Binance making a similar announcement, and I don't think they ever implemented it. Let me know, fam. Now, Cointelegraph reached out to Coinbase, but didn't get an immediate response. But as we know, founded in 2022, Lightspark's efforts have revolved around removing complexities that come with implementing and managing Lightning node to send and receive transactions reliably. Now, personally, I think all the exchanges should have access to Bitcoin's Lightning network to make it more affordable to send and receive crypto to the exchanges. Now, the firm also built Lightspark Predict, an AI-based smart engine that aims to optimize liquidity requirements and routing in real time to maximize transaction success rates and finality times. Pretty interesting. Now, according to Bitcoin's financial services firm River, Lightning payment success rate is around 99.7%, measured from the 308,000 Lightning transactions requested on its platform last October. The main reason for failure occurs when no payment route can be found that has enough liquidity to facilitate the transfer. However, River found the average Lightning transaction size was around 44,700 satoshis, which is only $11.84. The firm estimated between 279,000 and 1.1 million Lightning users were active in September. Now, Coinbase's biggest competitor, Binance, integrated Bitcoin Lightning last July. Oh, so they did. I didn't know they actually followed through with the announcement. I stand corrected. Lightning has become a popular payment method in Lugano, Switzerland, El Zante, and El Salvador, known as Bitcoin Beach, as well as Utiva, Costa Rica, known as the Bitcoin Jungle, Pura Vida fam. However, the Bitcoin bull sailor has, and or some other industry pundits believe that Bitcoin is far better off as a store of value tech than a medium of exchange. Hey, I say do anything you want to do with it because you have the free will to do so. So use your Bitcoin how you choose to use it. What are your thoughts on that? And how many of you are currently using the Coinbase exchange or Binance exchange, which apparently has Lightning already implemented? Now let's dive into our feature story of the day and discuss Bitcoin hitting $435,000, shall we? The headline here reads, the Bitcoin 2028 halving price target is $435,000 according to historical data. So let's break it down. So yeah, the Bitcoin price rallied approximately 650% since the last halving in April of 2020. So if history repeats, Bitcoin can reach $435,000 before the 2028 halving. Now, not too shabby, Bitcoin being up roughly 6.5x since 2020. Now, the Bitcoin price has risen 658% since the last Bitcoin halving, according to TradingView data, and is currently trading around the 66 mark. In fact, I think we even dropped post-COVID in 2020 to like 3,500 in that range. So we're up even more if you take it from the bottom. But here you're looking at the one-week chart. Now, check it. The 2024 Bitcoin halving will happen in less than 3 weeks. More likely 2 weeks. If historical chart patterns were to repeat, the Bitcoin current 68,000 price would reach 434,000 per coin by the 2028 halving if it performs similar to the current cycle. Nonetheless, the Bitcoin post-halving rallies have seen diminishing returns throughout the years. Now, until the first halving in 2012, Bitcoin increased from having virtually no value to $12.50, a 12,400% increase. Then Bitcoin price jumped 5,200% to $650 per coin by the 2016 halving and 1,200% to $8,500 by the 2020 halving. Now, thus, the Bitcoin average price rallies fell by 45% each cycle to the current 658%. So if the diminishing return trend repeats, Bitcoin will deliver a 360% rally during the next cycle, resulting in a roughly $303,600 Bitcoin price at the time of the 2020 halving. The Bitcoin's recent price surge is unrelated to the upcoming halving and mainly attributed to the inflows into the Bitcoin ETFs, argues Hao Yang, head of the financial products over at Bybit quoting him here, considering the halving and price trends from a very rigorous quantitative point of view, there is no evidence supporting a positive correlation between the halving event and the Bitcoin price. But history can be interpreted in many different ways. I certainly hope for $435,000 per coin by 2028, but won't put too much into it. Now, a six-figure Bitcoin price appears even more possible if Bitcoin ETFs overtake gold ETFs, which is something that can happen in the next 2 years, according to a February 26 research report from Bloomberg analysts Eric Balchunas. And additionally, Bitcoin ETFs are growing at a much quicker pace than the gold ETFs did when they first appeared back in 2004. In fact, Bitcoin is speed running the gold price fivefold, says Sam Wouters, head of Contact at River, who wrote in a March 29th post the following: Bitcoin is basically just 5x speed running gold's trajectory. The last 10 years of Bitcoin looks a bit like squish version of gold's last 50. No wonder some people get salty, aka Peter Schiff. So you already know, and as I pointed out, gold is just the poor man's Bitcoin. We showed you there are a lot of outflows leaving the gold ETFs, and there's many inflows entering Bitcoin. Why do you think that is? Because number one, Bitcoin is a superior store of value. Number two, it's immutable. Number three, there's a finite limited supply. Number four, it's incorruptible. And number five, it's unconfiscatable. I'm going to add a bonus number six, it's un-F-wittable. You can't F with it, Peter Schiff. And you can, like I said, a broken clock is right twice a day. You get your flowers for the day when gold hit that new all-time high, I think yesterday, for $2,300. But hey, you got to show metrics of Bitcoin, like, look at the four-hour chart and look at gold for this week. Holy moly, you stupid Bitcoiners. But yeah, zoom out a little and let's show the all-time chart and take a look at that. Back when Bitcoin was nothing 15 years ago to being worth $68,000 per coin. So we already know Bitcoin will eat the market cap of gold because the savvy investors are moving, even the baby boomers, they're moving their gold and capitulating for Bitcoin as they should. Why wouldn't you? Why would you want? And just the other day, Mike Saylor did a very awesome interview and he broke down the history of gold confiscation. And I retweeted that as well. Make sure to check it out. He gave us the ultimate history lesson on gold. And if you watch that, you understand why you don't want to be using gold as a store value. I think gold makes a great jewelry. Yeah, I mean, get a gold chain, something like that. But as a store value, when you have Bitcoin as the apex predator, to me, there's no comparison. However, if Bitcoin did not exist and there was no cryptocurrency, I may have some gold coins. Because what's the alternative, right? There would be none. But considering we have Bitcoin, there's no alternative to Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is so much superior, hence why we call it the apex predator, hence why the market cap of gold will continue to flow from the ETFs of the precious metals into Bitcoin. Why wouldn't it, right? Especially those that understand money. And I think the more wealthy you are, the more likely you're to understand money. And there is a lot of big money from the whales. I would consider that the smart money. And what is the smart money doing right now? They're accumulating, stacking sats, like there ain't no tomorrow, because they understand what's about to happen. We understand the cyclical nature of the Bitcoin halving, which only occurs every 4 years. We're on the cusp, two freaking weeks away until that event. What happens post-halving? We go parabolic. Why? Simple supply demand. You don't need to understand TA, aka astrology for men. It's all irrelevant. All that goes out the window. That's why I love the stock to flow model. It's basically supply demand. When you have a very limited supply and they can't print more and you have massive demand, right? Worldwide coming from ETFs, and look at Nipsey going wild. Shout out to the Nippinator. And yeah, I mean, you have so many reasons to be bullish right now. And there's really no reason to be bearish, especially at a time like this, especially considering, let's not forget, that we already tapped 69,000, meaning Bitcoin was at a higher price 3 years ago in 2021. So we haven't even seen the beginning of this real leg up of this bull run. I say once we surpass 100,000, things are going to get really funky, really quick, in a positive way. We can go from 100 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 500,000 this cycle. There's no telling. The truth is, Bitcoin has no top because fiat currency monopoly tulip money has no bottom. You understand that. They're going to continue to print. It's going to continue to increase the value of Bitcoin. All the currencies around the world, like we have already started witnessing this year, are going to be trending towards zero. Bitcoin's breaking out, hitting new all-time highs in currencies all around the world. Why is that? Because fiat is becoming more and more worthless. And just as the dollar is the final boss in the fiat pyramid scheme, you already know Bitcoin's coming for you. Protect your neck. In the words of the Wu-Tang Clan, protect your neck, kid, because Bitcoin's are coming. Just saying. Let me know if you agree or disagree with this price projection of 435,000. Again, I think that would be a bear scenario, especially for 2028. I'm more optimistic. My bear case scenario for this cycle, 2024, 2025 for the peak, is 222,000. My bull scenario is 750,000. So yeah, anything is possible. And in God we trust. Holla at your boy. And don't forget to check out CryptoNewsAlerts.net for the full premium experience with video and to participate in our live Q&A. And I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's episode. HODL.